morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Lighthouse. So good to see you all. We want to welcome everyone and encourage you today just to be at home because we are family and we're here to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we want you to join us in that. Few things we want to let you know about. Today we do have our young adult luncheon at our house. So if you're between the ages of 17 and 30, you are welcome to come join us for lunch and for some games. If you need an address, you can see me, myself, or Pastor Joe. We can get that address for you. And even if you weren't planning on coming, you can still come. We have lots of food. We always have plenty of food. So we'd love to have you join us. And we want to just spend time with you and get to know you. So all those young adults. Also, super excited to let you know that next Sunday is our bilingual service. We are doing those quarterly now. So we encourage you to come again ready to worship because God is the same, right? Doesn't matter if we're speaking in Spanish or English, we are going to worship together with our Hispanic family, and we're excited to have that combined service with them next Sunday morning. And then another new announcement. If you remember last year, we did something called Love Packages. And what we did is we collected any kind of Christian material. It could be old Bibles, even if they're falling apart. It could be books or devotionals, anything that you're done with or you don't use anymore and want to pass on. Next week, we will have a collection box, and you can come and donate that. And what they do is they take that and send it overseas. Because over there, they don't have a lot of Christian material in some places. And so this program that we go through will package it all up, send it where it needs to go. And so we're going to start collecting that. We're just collecting it for 2 weeks. So starting next week, we will have a box. And the following week, we'll have a box. So bring your stuff. It does need to be no political. So please, we don't want your political books. Keep those at home. And we don't want any fiction. There's a lot of good Christian fiction, but they don't take that. So any of your true non-fiction material, we can take that. And then also, if to plan ahead, Sister Betty is planning a mission trip to actually take the material to, is it Indiana? Illinois. To Illinois, and they're going to help package it and sort it. So if you're interested in that, save the date. It's going to be in April. It's going to be a Wednesday through Saturday, and the specific date will be coming. So if you're interested in that, you can see Sister Betty for more information. But again, start collecting that stuff around your house. How many of you have bookshelves that are just full? How many of you hardly ever look at those bookshelves? So if you're not going to use it, let's give it to someone who will. Amen? All right, and then the last announcement is a reminder, we have our first family movie night this Friday. We're very excited about that. This year, we are focusing on building a faith community. And so we want you to come out and be part of this community. Amen? So 6 p.m., we will be watching the film I Can Only Imagine, even if you've already seen it. I'm sure it'll be great to watch it again. And we encourage you, bring someone with you. Not just someone who always comes, but invite someone maybe who hasn't come. Maybe someone who doesn't know Christ, and bring them. We'll have food and popcorn and all kinds of fun and fellowship. So 6 p.m., we're going to show you the trailer of the movie. And then Pastor Darius and Pastor Dunia will be coming up with our call to worship.
It's an amazing song.
Just kind of happened. Took about 10 minutes, I guess.
Bart, you didn't write this song in 10 minutes. It took a lifetime. How'd you do this?
You know, I've never told anybody my story. When I was 11 years old, life was tough.
Where's Mama?
She's gone. She don't want me no more. And she don't want you neither.
And I've always loved music. And I found some songs that I held on to. They gave me hope.
Mercy me, that can't be his real voice.
Because I needed it.
Dad, I can do this.
No, you can't. And you're going to blink your eyes, and you're going to realize that life has gotten you nowhere because you chased some stupid dream.
I can. I'm leaving, Shannon.
I
I want you to know that I pray for you all the time. And I hope that you find whatever it is that you're looking for out there.
What are you running from?
My dad.
Then write about it. Let that pain become your inspiration.
I have some stuff I need to sort out.
And I deal with it the only way I know how. And that's to write a song.
You hungry?
Set the table.
What is this?
I want to make things right. You and me.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him.
You have a gift, real gift.
I didn't think that God could do that. And so I wrote this song for my dad.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Turn to your neighbor and smile and say, God bless you.
God bless you.
You know, a smile is always good. Maybe you can turn to the angel next to you, Pastor. There might be an angel there sitting. There you go. It's so good to be in the house of God, right? Okay, let me say that one more time because some of you are too sleepy. I need some Cuban coffee. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, I love when I see the flesh being crushed, because the flesh tries to step in and creep into the house of God so you don't praise God in liberty.
Right.
But when you say, no, I'm not going to let the flesh win this battle, and I'm going to praise God in spirit and truth.
Yes.
Then you receive the touch of the Holy Ghost and you're a strong candidate for miracles. Are you here this morning? So there is a psalm in the book of Psalms, it's Psalms 118, that is a calling for worship. But what I like about this psalm is that it starts with a global calling for worship, but then it goes to a personal calling for worship, and then it goes back to a corporate calling for worship. So this psalm is all about worship. And it's that psalm that we quote many times when it says, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Yes.
And you see here it says, we will rejoice.
Amen.
And be glad in it. The first way to be glad is to let your face know that you're glad.
Yeah.
Do I look glad now? No, I don't. But if I smile, that's the first sign that you're glad.
Yes.
Some of you looked really sad today. This is the house of God. Smile, rejoice, enjoy this morning. Praise your God. He is alive. He is the King of Kings. There's no one like him. He saved you. He has helped you. He is your comforter. Man, I could keep on and on. But this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The Bible says, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Can I hear an amen in the house of the Lord? Pastor Dunia will pray.
La misericordia del Señor está nuevecita para nosotros hoy.
God's mercy is fresh new for you.
Así que
today
la podemos disfrutar con toda la alegría del mundo.
We can enjoy it with all the happiness of the world.
Y las cosas viejas pasaron y aquí todas son hechas nuevas.
Knowing that all things are passed away and everything is new.
Gracias por esa misericordia del
Thanks
Señor.
Thanks to God for that mercy.
que se renueva igual que se renueva ese sol para nosotros.
That is renewed just as the sun is new every
morning. Así que hay esperanza para mucho más de lo que
hemos visto. So there is hope for us this morning.
Gracias, Señor.
Thank you, Lord.
Te damos muchas gracias porque estamos aquí, Padre, todos reunidos para alabarte y adorarte.
Father, we thank you because we are here together to worship you and praise you.
Tú eres fiel, mi Dios.
You are God.
Aun cuando somos infieles, tú permaneces fiel.
And even when we are unfaithful, you always remain faithful.
Queremos sumergirnos en este día, Padre.
We want to be in your presence today,
en
Father.
Esa misericordia tan maravillosa.
And we want to be immersed in that new mercy.
Y queremos, Dios mío, decir como decía el salmista.
And God, we want to say, as the psalmist said,
¿por qué te abates, oh alma mía, y te turbas dentro de mí?
Why are you confused, oh my soul?
Confía,
trust,
confía en el Señor.
Trust in the Lord.
Porque de él vienen tus fuerzas.
Because your strength is coming from him.
Dice el Señor, en este mundo tendréis aflicción.
And thank you because you said that we will have
pero que confiemos, confiamos
world,
en ti, Señor.
But if we trust
y esperamos
you,
en ti, Padre.
And we hope in you, we will win.
Nuestra confianza está depositada en ti, Señor.
Our trust is in you, Lord.
Te alabamos y te adoramos por siempre.
We praise you and we worship you forever.
Porque tú cambias nuestro lamento en baile.
Because you change our sorrows
y nuestra
into
ceniza
dance.
En belleza.
And you always turn our ashes
a ti
into
toda
beauty.
La gloria, nuestro Salvador
all
amado.
The glory and honor goes to you, Savior.
Te queremos honrar en esta mañana.
We honor you this morning.
Y confiar en que tú traerás a nosotros, Señor,
and we
paz.
Trust that you will bring peace.
Renovarás nuestras fuerzas.
And that you will renew our strength.
Y nos impulsarás para seguir a la meta.
And you will compel us to go forward.
Bendice lo que va a pasar en esta mañana,
bless
mi Dios.
Bless the service this morning.
Porque te queremos bendecir a ti.
Because we want to bless your name.
Gracias, Señor.
Thank you, Lord.
Confiadamente venimos, Señor, para darte
you
toda
to
la gloria,
give you all
toda
the glory,
la honra,
all the honor,
toda la alabanza por siempre, porque hasta aquí, Señor,
ever,
tú nos has ayudado.
You have helped us so far.
Y eres el mismo de ayer, hoy y por los siglos.
And you're the same yesterday, today,
y esas mismas maravillas
forever,
que parparon muchos y que pudieron ver en su vida,
and
nosotros las vamos a seguir viendo.
You si still confiamos, want to do it today.
Si confiamos en ti.
If we trust you.
Gracias, papá.
Thank you, Father.
Gracias, papá. En el
thank
nombre
you, Father,
de Jesús.
In the name of Jesus.
Y amén.
Amen.
Gracias,
and
Señor.
Amen. Stand up on your feet, please. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I know that you're expecting predictable things. You're not going to get that from me. I am very unpredictable. Isn't God unpredictable sometimes? So what I'm saying is, we're getting ready to worship God. And the first song that they have put together is a Pentecostal song. Because it reminds us where everything started on the day of Pentecost. We need in 2024 the fire of Pentecost. Let me say that one more time. We need in 2024 in the United States of America the fire of Pentecost. Amen. So as you get ready to give the offering online or check, the ways to give are on the screen. Baskets are up here. But most of all, let's give God an offering of praise. Give the Lord a hand clap as we get ready to praise. Amen. God bless you.
Oh, there was a crowd gathered round from all over town. They came to see what it was all about. There was a sound that came down from the upper room where the Holy Ghost was being poured out. It sounded just like the roar of a mighty wind, and it fell on every one of them. And the wind that blew at Pentecost is blowing and blowing again. Oh, the wind is blowing again. he is. Like Pastor Dunya said, he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Praise him this morning. There's nothing like our God. There's nothing that can compare. There's nothing that can fill the void like he can. Amen.
Turn morning to day.
beauty. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. Oh, you turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory.
Encourage you, if you are trying to find something, Jesus is that something. He is the only thing you will ever need. It's not in a relationship. It's not in a job. It's not in money. You can have all of that and still be missing your entire purpose for living, because your entire purpose is found in Jesus Christ. And when you find that, you have found everything. Everything. You don't need man's approval. You don't need to achieve a certain status. When you have found who you are in Christ, you have found everything. And let's just sing that chorus one more time, because I think the Holy Spirit is wanting you to really get that. There's nothing else, not one other thing. It's Jesus plus nothing. Right, Brother Farler? Jesus plus nothing. He's all you need. There's nothing
better than you. No, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. No, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. No, there's nothing. Nothing is better. played it over and over and over, and you may wonder why we sing songs over and over and over, but sometimes we have to remind our fear who our God is, amen, and we have to remind our circumstances how big our God is, and that's why we proclaim it over our lives. So whatever you're fearing, whatever you're facing today, His love is bigger, and His love can get you through. Let's sing that verse again. Darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. No, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I
stand. dance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Some of you may be wondering, how can we sing that? How can you declare that? How do you know that to be true? It's because God said it first. See, the Bible is the Word of God. How many believe that this morning? The Bible is the Word of God. See, when I sing songs, I hear my Bible talking to me. Anybody else hear your Bible talk to you when you sing songs? That's when you know you're singing a good song, when you hear your Bible talking to you. And the Apostle John, who it was considered John the Beloved, who walked closely with Jesus, he penned these words to us by unction of the Holy Spirit, which means it is the Word of God. Not John's word, but it's the Word of God. And he said this, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Now, we don't have a good understanding of that word perfect. We think that it means flawless. And here's what you have to understand. The love of God is flawless because it comes from God, the one who is flawless. He's perfect, right? But really, he's saying a complete love. Something that's complete. And it has been completed. I mean, what more do we need, church, than to see someone that would give his life for us? Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's what the Word of God says, but Jesus did it not just for his friends, he did it for the world. He did it for you and I even before we existed. How can he display his love any greater? He can't. That's perfect. That's a complete love. It's been completed. He gave himself. He completed the work. And therefore, all your fears, your anxiety, the things that try to distract you, they have to leave when you enter into the love of God. That's how powerful. It's an agape love. It's not a kind of love that we have in experience in this world. It's the God kind of love. And that's how we can sing songs like My Fear Doesn't Stand a Chance When I Stand in Your Love. The things that try to overcome me and overwhelm me and overtake me in life, they have to go because of the love of God. It is so great. It is so powerful. It is a force that moves heaven and earth. Then we sang this song before that about beauty for ashes. And I heard my Bible talking to me again. That's directly from Scripture. So let me put it in context for you in case you don't know what that means. What does it mean, beauty for ashes? Well, you see, when people were in mourning, when their soul was distraught and it seemed like the whole world was crashing down around them, what they would do to show the world how they felt, see, they didn't have a society like we have where you put on a mask, you pretend like everything's good. That's not how their society worked. They would literally change their clothes and put on clothes that were made out of sacks, sackcloth. How many ever had a potato sack in your hand before? Felt how rough that was. They would make clothes out of that while they were in mourning. They would put those on. Scratchy, itchy clothes. And then they would take ashes from their burn areas where they heated and cooked food. But they would take ashes and they would put them on their head. And they would walk around town with sackcloth and ashes on because what they were experiencing in life at that moment, that's how they felt on the inside, and they wanted everybody to see it on the outside. And God says this by a prophetic word through the prophet Isaiah, which is the word of God. Again, everybody say word of God. He says, I'm going to send you one that is anointed by me. He's been given the ability by God. Me, God, I'm giving him the ability. He is the anointed one. And he's going to have power. And when he comes, he's going to preach a good news or a message of good news to you that are poor, that have nothing, that are walking around in sackcloth and ashes because you feel like you are destitute and have nothing. He's going to open up blind eyes. He's going to heal broken hearts. He's going to set the captives free. Those that are bruised, he's going to set at liberty also. He's going to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he says this. This is what he's going to do. He's going to give you beauty for ashes. What does that mean? It means that he's going to clean the ashes off the top of your head. The stuff that you have gone through in life that makes you feel like you're hopeless and destitute and you have nothing but ashes. He's going to wipe that slate clean. And this is what the scripture actually means. He's going to give you a beautiful headdress or a crown of righteousness. He's going to give you his crown of righteousness for the ashes that you have on your head. Then you stink and you smell bad because you've just been sitting in your filth of life, right? In your frustration. So then he's going to take the oil of gladness, a sweet perfume, and he's going to pour it over your life so that you can smell good again. You're not stuck in your stench anymore, but the anointed one has come to anoint you with the oil of gladness. But he doesn't stop there, church. He says, and then I'm going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That sackcloth that you've been wearing, it's taken off of you now. And I'm going to give you a robe of white that is cotton and light and beautiful. I'm going to place it on you so that you can live a different life than what you've lived before. The anointed one comes and he changes everything. You may be feeling like you're sitting in your sackcloth and ashes this morning. You may be going through hell this morning and you feel like the whole world has come against you. But I have news for you. The anointed one has walked into the room. His name is Jesus. We have invited him to come be with us. And he's cleaning off the ashes. He's taking off that rough garment. And he's taking away the stench of life that's on you. And he's pouring blessing upon your life. He's raising you up from where you were. He's setting the captive free this morning. And all you have to do is receive it by faith. And the way you can do that is put on the garment of praise. You may be feeling heavy, but lift up those hands anyway and surrender unto God. And just begin to praise him. Just begin to praise him. The fear that has been tried to put on you, it doesn't stand a chance in the midst of the love of God himself. Come on, sing it again. Let's praise God this morning. Let's worship God this morning. Come on, give it to him from the bottom of your heart.
The fear doesn't stand a chance. Hey.
Stand.
lift your hands and give him some praise this morning. Come on, give him some praise even when you don't feel like it. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, worship team. I'm going to call an audible on you this morning. Debbie, I need you to sing that song. Can you do it for me this morning? The song that you just posted on Facebook. Sing your song. Can you do that for us this morning? Go ahead and sing that song for us this morning. I want you to stay right here. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. Actually, I want some of you made your way out of your seat to get your garment of praise on, but there's some of you that are holding back still. Come on, step out. Come up to the altar. It's a place where you can worship God. I know, well, we can do that from our seat, yeah. But some of you got to get out of your comfort zone. You've gotten too comfortable. Now, this is not a song that we even have lyrics for this morning. Because this is a God song that God gave Pastor Debbie. And I want you to listen to the words. God's going to minister to your heart this morning. And then we're going to praise God together. We're going to praise God together after God ministers to you through this song. Go ahead, Pastor Debbie.
Don't worry about the mess.
out, just sing. Don't worry about the melody. You may feel broken and out of tune. Just sing the song. Come on, bless the Lord. I'm gonna bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Sing that part again. And I will bless. Come on, let me hear your voice. Better yet, let God hear your voice. You may feel broken, but sing. Sing your song to God this morning. Again, he's done great things. For he has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless the Lord. So I will bless the Lord. Come on, just the voices. Sing up.
Oh, my soul and all that is within me bless His
And I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me bless His Father, we come before you humbly this morning. We offer our praise to you, our lives as worship in service unto you. And God, we echo the sentiment of Job when he said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Sometimes in life we experience a receiving of your blessing. Sometimes it feels like, God, that things have been stripped away from us. But Lord, we come in your presence this day understanding that no matter whether we feel like we're being given something or something's been taken from us, we will bless your name. For you are holy, you are righteous, and you are worthy to be praised. We will sing our song to you, Lord, even in our barrenness and brokenness, because you are worthy to be praised. Now, God, you see every heart that's heavy. You see every heart that's rejoicing. You see every soul that is in torment. And you see every soul that is free. We offer ourselves heart and soul unto you right now. We thank you for wholeness in your body. We thank you for wholeness in each individual believer right now. We stand in faith and we receive it. Hallelujah. For you can do the impossible. All the anxiety and worry and doubt and fear that's trying to pressure in, Lord, we thank you that you have scattered it. You've pushed it out by your love this morning as we have come to worship and praise you. And you see the burdens and the needs that people are carrying. And Father, I thank you that you're meeting those needs, not necessarily the way we think you need to meet them, but you're answering and you're moving. You're hearing our prayer and you're intervening on our behalf, in our lives, in our loved ones' lives. You see those that are sick in body, God, you performed a healing work when you were whipped on your back, Jesus. And by those stripes, we receive that healing. That's your word. So we receive it by faith. God, you see those that are mourning, those that are going through difficult times, difficult things, those that are even on their deathbed maybe this morning, Lord. God, we pray that your peace would keep them, that your peace would be with family members as they're with loved ones that have passed or passing, Lord, and as they're walking through that time of mourning, Lord, we know that you're giving them beauty for ashes, the oil of gladness, and the garment of praise. God, no matter what we are facing, you said you would be with us. You would not leave us, but you would be right by our side. And we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're the comforter and you've given comfort as we have come and praised you this morning and worshiped you. I thank you for all that you have done in our hearts and all that you're going to do in the rest of this service, Lord. I thank you for rescuing us. I thank you for stirring faith in us to believe you for another day. God, I thank you for your blessings, even when life doesn't feel blessed. Your blessings are upon us. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you lift your hands and your voices once again and just thank God, giving praise for everything that he's done for you in your life. He's done good things. Every good thing comes from God. Amen. That's what the word of God says. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You may be seated if you wish to be. We want you to stay in this reverence unto God, this worship and praise unto him, for he's worthy of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Debbie, for sharing that song with us this morning. I put you on the spot, and you weren't ready for that, but I knew that God was working in that. Wasn't that a beautiful song that God gave her? Ministering to hearts today, ministering to lives today, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go ahead and dismiss our students at this time. We have a teen class for teenagers back there. We have Firehouse Kids this morning for our kids group. We also have a nursery and a preschool for those kids' age, so you can parents can take their babies back to nursery and their young ones back to preschool if you would like to. And they will minister to your children and teach them the word of God this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it is our privilege and honor to have Sister Betty come and minister the gospel to us this morning. It's been a minute since she's preached for us, and we just felt like we needed to hear from her, and God had put a word in her heart. So why don't you give her a hand as she comes and gives us the word this morning.
Good morning. I believe that God is doing a work this morning. Amen. I don't know about you, but I pay attention to what is done in service. I pay attention to what pastor says and what others, elders say, and the body of Christ says, and I jot it down all the time. I have a notebook, and I just either put it on my phone and then put it in my notebook. And God is saying things to us, and it's important that we heed what he is saying. And so this morning, I'm going to do old school, and I'm going to make you open up your Bibles or your phones this morning. We're not going to put it on the screen. I think you can handle it, right? Handle it, open in your Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible or a phone, find somebody who's got a Bible and sit next to them and appreciate the Word of God. Pastor has said it several times about the reign of God, the soaking of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's what he's doing. It may not always look like it, but that is what he's doing. And God is doing something specific here. I want you to pay attention to it. And because if you don't, you'll miss it. You'll miss what God is doing. And so often we get distracted by everything else. We get distracted by music or what's on the screen or not on the screen. Or somebody misspelled the words in the song this morning, and that's what we focus on. Because we're easily distracted, amen? We live in a noisy world. My dad never understood people who ran and was out in nature with earphones in their ears. He used to say, "What's the point of being out in nature if you can't hear nature?" Back in my day, there were the kids who were on their skateboards with the great big radios up to their ears. So God is saying something, and the Lord began to deal with my heart. And this year, our pastors have said that we are supposed to build a faith community. We are supposed to build a faith community. And what does that look like for you? What does that look like for me? And so I'm going to tell you the story this morning of Elijah. I love telling Bible stories. There's much to learn in the Old Testament, amen? So I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And just an FYI for us older adults, anybody who gets up here, take your time to repeat the reference of Scripture. Can I hear an amen? Don't go too fast. Let me absorb what you've already just told me. I need time to absorb. And we want to just hurry up with everything, to hurry up and get to our point. But God wants you to absorb what he's saying to you this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17, we find the story of Elijah. And he comes on the scene, 1 Kings chapter 17. And we know that Elijah was one of the most powerful prophets that ever was in the scriptures. He's mentioned over and over and over. In the New Testament, he's mentioned. Jesus mentions him. Paul mentions him and talks about how that he was a man with like passions like we are, and yet he prayed that it didn't rain, and it didn't rain. He was a powerful man of God. And so he tells Ahab in chapter 17 that it's not going to rain because of your wickedness. And he says that he declares, and Elijah the Tishbite, chapter 17, verse 1, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, and I'm reading from the King James Version, "As the Lord of God Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, according to my word." Who told him that? The Lord told him that. And he wasn't afraid to tell Ahab that. And so while it's not raining, it begins to get dry. I want you to look at verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, the word of the Lord came. And the Lord said, I want you to go by a brook named Cherith. And I want you to sit there. And the ravens are going to bring food to you. And that's what happened. And then the brook dried up because there was no rain. And I want you to look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, all right, now, Elijah, I want you to get up from this place, and I want you to go to a town called Zarephath, and I want you to find a widow woman, and she's going to feed you. And I would encourage you today, when you get home, read these scriptures between 17 and 20. Read the story. I'm not going to go into detail. But so that happens, and he's fed, and he works great miracles for this widow woman. And now I want you to go all the way to 18 and 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And he tells Ahab, well, because of the word of the Lord, now there's going to be rain. And then we get to 18, in the 18th chapter, we find the story of Ahab, or Elijah, on the top of the mountain. And he calls all of the priests and he says, listen, we're going to have a contest. And we're going to build an altar. And you're going to put an offering on that altar. And you're going to call on the name of Baal. And Baal is going to light that fire from heaven. And so they pray, they cut themselves, they scream, they beg Baal. And there isn't anything that happens. And of course, Elijah, as you know the story, he makes fun of them. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he can't hear. Maybe he's just taking a nap. So then Elijah does something extraordinary. He first of all builds back up the altar with 12 stones representing Israel. And he digs a ditch around it. And he pours 12 barrels of water on top of that offering, on top of the wood. Everything is soaking wet. And then he says one simple prayer. Let's look at chapter 18, verse 36. Chapter 18, verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. I didn't do anything for myself. Everything I've done, I've heard the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord said. And the Bible says that fire came down out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the water, and even the stones, till there was nothing left. Wow. And the people began to cry, the Lord, he is the God. He is the God. He is the God. And Elijah was happy and he said, you have turned their hearts back again. Huh. And then after this wonderful showing, verse 41 of chapter 18. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down to the earth, and he put his face between his knees, And you know the story. Kept asking his servant, hey, is there any clouds? Nope. Is there any clouds yet? Nope. And then pretty soon he says, well, I see a cloud looks like a size of a man's hand. And then he said, get thee up. Here it comes. And the Bible says that he girded himself about, took his clothes, and he wrapped himself around so he could run. And he began to run and beat Ahab to Jezreel. And Ahab was riding in a chariot with horses, 30 miles. And also we know by historical things is that when somebody ran before a chariot, it meant that they were in honor of this king that they were running in front of. And so there he is. Here comes the rain. The Bible says that in verse 46, that the hand of the Lord was on Elijah as he ran. He ran in honor of his king to Jezreel. But ladies and gentlemen, what he thought would happen did not happen. What he expected was revival. He ran in front of that chariot victorious, knowing that when he went into Jezreel, people were going to turn to the Lord. They were going to get rid of that Jezebel, and everything was going to turn out exactly the way he envisioned it happening. And Jezebel said, I am going to kill you. I'm going to take every effort, every waking hour. I'm going to find you and kill you. Huh? This morning, the Holy Spirit has gone before me in this message. The song that Debbie sang this morning. Though the darkness may be suffocating, just sing. Elijah was in a place that he should not have been. He realized that nothing that he had done, nothing that he had tried, all of the miracles, all of the wonders was worthless. Nothing happened the way he thought it would happen. So you know what he did. He took off. He took off opposite of where he should have been. I want you now to look at chapter 19, verse 7. He went a day's journey into the wilderness and sat up underneath a juniper tree and said, take my life, God. I'm just done. Anybody ever say that before? Okay, I'm done. I'm done. I did everything you told me to. I obeyed the word of the Lord. Whatever you told me to do, I did. I've been your servant. I've done everything you've told me. And none of it meant anything. And he said, let me die. We know that an angel came and gave him food, and he slept. And he woke up again, and he ate some more, and he slept. And the angel of the Lord, verse 7, came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. So after that story, you would think, okay, now he's going to turn around and go back where he ought to be. Nope, he doesn't. He keeps going south. He gets all the way to Mount Horeb. You ever have somebody who think, oh, this altar call, this one, this is going to change them. Oh, they got to the altar and they prayed and cried. People laid hands on, they were prophesied. This time, this one was going to make it. This one is going to make them strong. And then you don't see them for weeks at a time. And then you find out they're in a lot of trouble. And you say, God, what was that for? So even after God feeds him heavenly food, he keeps going. I've been in this place before. And that's why this story is so important to me and to many of you who have served God a long time. I look out in this congregation and I see many people I've served God with a really long time, and they've had some pretty big trials. Even in the middle of them working for the Lord, terrible stuff happened to them that they didn't deserve. So he finds himself on Mount Horeb. And do you got that picture for me, dear? Did you find it? And God says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" There are people in this building online who God is saying to you right now, not in this physical place, but where you are in your life, "What are you doing here?" God has said that to me in the middle of a worship service, in the middle of a Sunday school class, in the middle of doing the good stuff I'm supposed to be doing. And God says, "Betty, what are you doing here? Why are you carrying around this thing you're carrying? What are you doing here?" And I find it interesting because Elijah responds with this: "I've done everything you told me to do. Everything you've asked me to do, I've done. And now that woman wants to take my life. And I alone am the only person left." Now, he knew that wasn't true because Obadiah had told him that he hid some prophets. Obadiah had already told him that. And then we see the story and the wind comes and the earthquake and all of the noise. And the Bible said God was not in any of that. But he was in a, tell me, you know the story. But you know what Elijah does? He doesn't say, "Oh, yes, Lord." He said, "But God, I've done everything you've told me to do. And he repeats the same complaint. "And only me, only I'm the only one serving you." Aren't you glad that God does not sometimes listen to us pray? "Well, you know, I would do better, but that sister so-and-so is driving me crazy. I would do better, but they don't do it the way I think they ought to do it. They change everything. Oh, these young people, they just want to change stuff all the time." Are you hearing me? I was in the grocery store the other day, and there was a lady who was trying to use her debit card. She was probably in her 80s. She had no idea what she was doing. And she said, she looked so forlorn, and she said, "Couldn't we just go back to cash?" Anybody ever feel that? And so we keep giving the same complaint to God. But I find it really interesting in chapter 19. That God doesn't address his complaints at all. He doesn't even talk about them. He doesn't say, "Oh, I know, I know, I know, I hear you, Elijah. I know you've been a good servant, I know." He doesn't even address it. Doesn't even acknowledge that he complained about it. And what does he say in chapter 19? "And the Lord said, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you come, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria." And he goes through and tells him, gives him a list of things to do. That's what you're doing when you go back. Come on, get up. Let's go. Go back. And one of the things I want to tell you today is, and I feel that the Holy Spirit is telling us this morning, is that Elijah stopped listening to Ahab. Oh, he knew what God had directed him to do, but in his personal life, he'd stopped listening to Ahab and what Ahab did or didn't do. He stopped listening to what Jezebel was going to do or not do. He stopped listening to the things around him, and he just got up and decided he was going to do the will of God. At the word of the Lord, okay, let's go. Let's go finish this. And the Bible shows here in the scriptures that Elijah ended his life in a powerful way. He just started doing what God told him to again. Started working miracles again. Got up and started. And this week I've been thinking about the scripture where in Galatians 1 and 9. I think it's 1 and 9. Where's my reference? Galatians 6 and 9. Jesus said, Paul says through the Holy Spirit, don't be weary in well-doing, for you will reap if you faint not. Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious. The Lord said to Joshua in 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? And I said, okay, wait. I am weary, and you tell me, don't be weary. I am weary, but your word said, don't be weary. I am anxious, but your word says, don't be anxious. I don't feel strong. I don't feel courageous. And yet you command me to be strong and courageous. How can I be something I'm not? And you know the answer to that. It has nothing to do with you and your perfection. And what you think others think you ought to be. That's where we fall short so often. I want to be exactly what so-and-so wants me to be. I want to be exactly what pastors want me to be. I want to be exactly what Brother Jim wants me to be. I want to be exactly what you think I ought to look like. And it can be devastating and wearying. And it's not possible. But let us begin to hear the voice of the Lord instead of everybody else's voice. Let us begin to hear what God is telling us individually. Start talking about what God is telling you. Jot it down. When you're in the service, when pastor's preaching to you, jot down what God is saying to you. Because God wants to speak to you individually. And he doesn't want his voice mixed up with somebody else's voice. When I was a young person, years ago, I worried a lot about what other people thought. And God began to work on my spirit. And I began to worry about what he thought. I love the song they talked about this morning. That shame no longer has a place to hide. One of the scriptures that have been so monumental and pivotal in my life. And I'm going to come down here because I need to see you. I used to come to God with this idea that I'm broken and I'm not perfect. I wish I was God. I wish I could do everything perfect. I say the wrong thing. I make the wrong decisions. And I used to come to God in this, my spirit, in this way. Father, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm going to come before you and I'm going to ask for your help. You know that that's not scriptural. Is he mighty? Is he holy? Does he deserve glory? Are you worthy enough without him? You are not. The Bible says that my righteousness is like filthy rags in front of him. Be like coming before a king, smelly and in sackcloth. But the scripture tells me this. I am supposed to come before the throne room. And for us, that seems so like, wait a minute, wait, you're coming before a holy God. But I am not coming in my own flesh. I am clothed with the blood of Jesus. And I do the blood of Jesus and my Lord Jesus honor when I put him on, the Bible says. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I come before the doors and the angels say, come on in, Betty. And I walk in. Well, what if I've sinned? The Bible says I always have an advocate with the Father. Father, you see the blood of Jesus on me. I really messed up this week, God. Wow. I thought I had this all figured out. I thought that this thing that I had it all figured out, and then something happened this week, and I stepped right back into the way I used to be. And yet God still doesn't tell me to get on my hands and knees with my head covered. My face covered. I love the scripture in 1 Corinthians when it talks about I come to the mirror of God's word, open faith. Whoa, there is a blemish right there. Woo! I better take care of that. You know what happens when we don't come to in the word with open face? We don't see it.
I'm okay.
Well, I'm as good as Ryan. I'm as good as Alicia. Well, yeah, God's telling me to change, but I'm as good as Brother Randy. I know what Brother Randy does. I'm better than he is. He says, come before this mirror, open face. And then you get rid of the mud on your face. Whew, yeah, that's... God gives me that opportunity. And then he opens back up the door and I say, Father, Abba, Father. Elijah stopped listening to Ahab. He stopped listening to Jezebel. He stopped listening to all the voices. And he only began to listen to the voice of God. So he got up out of his complaining. He got up out of his sorrow. He got up out of his discouragement. And he went and started doing the will of God. Do not be weary in well-doing. So if God says I don't have to be weary, guess what? I don't have to be. If he says, not people, oh, poor Sister Betty, oh, you do so much. You should slow down, you know, because God wants us to rest. God wants us to not be overwhelmed with. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Should I use wisdom? Yes, but I'm going to hear the voice of the Lord. If the Lord says rest, I'm going to rest. If the Lord says, get up, Benny, go do, then I'm going to hear what he has to say. But I am going to hear the voice of the Lord and not my own voice, because my own voice is, the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's deceptive. My own feelings. We rely so much on our feelings. We walk around and we get all messed up in our feelings. But God says to me, if I don't have to be weary, and if he says that I don't have to be anxious, and he says that I can be strong and courageous, then I can. Not by my own strength, obviously. Not by my own power, but through and by the power of Jesus Christ that lives inside of me. I want to, on the screen, I didn't tell you this ahead of time, media person. I appreciate the media people. We just throw stuff at them and say, hey, can you do this for me? And they do. I love the end of Elijah's life because at the end of his life, he brings along somebody next to him and he teaches him all he knows before he leaves this life. There have been people in my life who have been so steadfast. They were unmovable. They knew who God was in their lives and they didn't move for nothing. They taught me that. But I can't live off of their blessing, nor even their teaching. I have to hear that still small voice of the Lord. Some of you have a lot of ministries in here. Some of you are involved in ministries. And so often we want the hoopla. Lots of people saved. Lots of cool music. Lots of lights. Lots of... And we have a great time and we expect big things and we ought to expect big things. But sometimes at the end of those, we have relied on what we did, what we accomplished, what we planned, instead of hearing and knowing what God is doing. My mother prayed for my brother who had gone out to Vietnam and he came back addicted to drugs. Messed up in his brain. Messed up. He was so out of it that he ran into a moving train with his car and didn't know it was there. Plowed his car underneath that train and drug him several hundred feet. The steering wheel pushed his face up till he was looked like a monster. He was completely unrecognizable. They had to put metal pins in his face to straighten up his face. And my mother thought, for sure, this thing that happened to him will be it to change him. This will. As soon as he got out of the hospital, he was dealing drugs again, doing drugs again. Didn't change him. My mother was a prayer. She's a prayer warrior. She spent time in prayer. She lived in a little house trailer at the time, and she said she went to prayer for my brother, and she said the very presence of God was in that trailer, and she said she remembered praying in the living room, and she said when she came to, she was in the bedroom. She had no clue how she got from one spot to another. She couldn't remember it. She said, I sought God, and I touched God. And God said, don't you worry about it. I got him. So there was a revival going on in Marion, and people were invited. People were getting saved and healed, and God was moving in a great way. And my mother knew, and my other brother had gone down to that revival and got saved. My mother knew, without a doubt, she'd touched God. She knew that my brother was going to be at that revival, and he was going to be saved. Week one, it was a two-week revival. Week one went by. My mother's still speaking in faith. Week two goes by. My brother never showed up to that church, never got saved. My mother was like, what in the world? I know what I heard you say, God. So several weeks later, my brother was in a bar, strung out. Already had several beers, strung out, sitting, just kind of leaning his whole body over the bar. And he said, it was like somebody turned on a light bulb. And it was like the whole room was dark except for where he was sitting. And he heard a voice that said, "None of these people care about you." He walked from that bar to my sister's house, and my sister had a little three-step entryway from the basement up to the kitchen. And he got the one door open, and he said, "I was on those steps for hours. I felt like that there was somebody with their foot in the middle of my back." And he said, "I was hollering, help, but nobody could hear me." And finally, he got reached up and got that second door open and got it open, crawled into her kitchen on the floor, and was crying in a weak voice, "Somebody help me. Somebody help me." And my sister, who was also a prayer warrior, heard his voice and woke up and told her husband, "There's somebody in the kitchen." And they went down, and there he was, sick, laying in the middle of the kitchen floor. And that night, they prayed that young man through. He didn't drink another drop of alcohol. The drugs were out of his system. And he was saved, miraculously saved. It didn't go the way my mom thought it would. It didn't go the way she imagined it would. No, I'm going to tell you something now. That man, who is now 70-some years old, decided he didn't need God so much in his life as he did at first. And you know what? He didn't say saved. So, you know, we like happy endings, right? And for the rest of his life, he served God and was, nope. He decided that he didn't need God so much, and he backslid. Today, he is suffering from vascular dementia, meaning there's not a lot of blood flow coming to his brain. We took him out to eat the other day, and I looked at him sitting there, and he got kind of mixed up with his biscuit, and we were talking and loving on him. My brother takes him out every Tuesday. But I thought, those are the times when we say, "What's the point, God? So I'm not going to try anymore, because look, it happened. He was gloriously saved, but the Bible says, do not be weary in well-doing, for you will reap if you faint not." This isn't all about everything going your way. This is about you getting all the way to the end and continuing to do the will of God. And you have to make that decision today. There's an old song called "Tell It to Jesus." And that's the one I wanted you to find, Elena. Thank you. And I saw a prayer this week, and I want to pray it to you. And if this is you, I want you to grab hold of these words. And if there's any words in here that ring a bell to you, jot them down. It said, "Merciful Father, you are good, and everything you do is right and true. You are my source of strength. I am looking to you for spiritual energy. I'm growing weary in my well-doing. Lord, I don't see the results of my obedience. I'm losing hope that people will ever change. The weight of their sin and selfishness weighs heavy on my shoulders." Do you ever feel that? The weight of their sin weighs heavy on my shoulders. Take that burden from me and fill me afresh with your spirit of joy and peace. and let me focus my eyes on you. I want Sister Elaine to put those words up there. Tell it to Jesus. And we don't need any music this morning. Or tell it to Jesus alone. You're looking for it? I appreciate Elaine is my granddaughter, by the way. And I just appreciate my family who's very patient with me. Will you stand with me this morning? I'd like us to, I don't want you to play it. I just want the words from the, would you join with me and up at the altar if we could, if you feel comfortable doing that? They're going to put those words on the screen this morning. And this is what I want you to do this morning. I don't want you to ask God to take away your burden or your trouble. Because that's what we do first. That's what we do for our kids. Oh, God, make our kids happy. Make our kids okay. Make our kids so that everything goes good for them. But so often, we need a desert place. We need a dry place so that we can actually hear his voice instead of a gazillion other voices. Give me verse 1, if you would, please. And I love this song. And this song was originally written in German. And then an English man came along and thought, well, English-speaking people need to learn how to sing this song, too. So if you don't know this song, it's okay. But I got enough older people in this and young old people in this congregation that's going to sing it for you. But it's a beautiful, the words are beautiful. It goes like this. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Have tears flow down your cheeks unbidden. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to man's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Next verse. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone.
Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ coming, kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Alone, you have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
This morning, while we're here standing, I want you to find somebody to pray with. I want you to put your arm around them, or just on their arm or shoulder. We never know what somebody else is going through, ever. There's some of you who are going through some really tough places. And as Debbie's song said, sometimes it feels like it's suffocating. But you can tell it to Jesus. And you can maybe go off somewhere and God says, "What are you doing here?" And you begin to hear His voice. And He begins to tell you what to do. And you're not going to turn around. Oh, you may have sat too long. You may have rested too long. You may have made mistakes. But you're not about shame. God is not about shame. God is about newness. God is about brand new. And if we're going to build a faith community, we're going to love each other even when we make mistakes. And we're going to be honest with each other when we do. And we're going to tell each other, "Hey, you're sitting here too long. You got to get up, man. You got to get up." I want you to pray for the person next to you. I want you to use your own words. I want you to let the Holy Spirit give you the words to tell somebody else right now in the name of Jesus. Just begin to say it in the name of Jesus. Begin to let the Holy Spirit give you the words to say to another person. Let the Holy Spirit give you insight to the words that are coming out of your mouth. Father, we thank you for what you're accomplishing right now. We thank you, God, for the body of Christ. We thank you for Holy Ghost-inspired words right now. For Holy Ghost words that are coming right from the throne room. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your words, God, that are coming from your throne room. Thank you, God. We're hearing from you, Lord. We're hearing from you, Lord. We're hearing from you, Lord, through your people. We're hearing from you, Father. We're hearing what you're telling us, Lord. We're going to take those words that you're giving to us right now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Don't be shy about your words. If there's something you need to say, if there's somebody else you need to go to this morning, give them words of wisdom, words of encouragement. Words are from that are from the throne room through his spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Hallelujah. Thank you for inspired words, Lord. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. One more time. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to man's eyes are hidden? Oh, tell it to Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Hallelujah. 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 You may return to your seats if you want to, or if you want to keep praying, that's okay. I wanted to say that I appreciate the pastors opening up the pulpit for me this morning. I understand and realize what a weighty thing that is, and that when you're talking to the people of God, it's important that you know what you're talking about. So I would encourage you to go back and read the story of Elijah. Go back and ask the Lord, what is it that he is telling you? Not what people are telling you. Not even what the pastor's telling you. God, what are you telling me? What are you trying to tell me? And I did like to tell you that I wasn't real long-winded this morning, so you can go and watch the Super Bowl. If you so desire, I'll watch a couple of commercials, then I'll go do something else, and you all can tell me who won. I remember one time asking somebody, they were watching football, and I said these words, "Ooh, I like their outfits. I like the color of their outfits." And that made that person so mad. I just didn't understand why that would frustrate them so much. So God bless you, Sister Alicia.
Can we just give Sister Betty one more hand? I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit and how he can work through individuals. And it's not just a few, it's every individual that he wants to work through. And one of the things I love about Sister Betty is she is open about sharing her story. And even though she's ministered for a long time, she's been through wildernesses.
And sometimes when we're in the wilderness, we don't understand what it's doing in us. But we have to have those experiences for the Lord to humble us, for us to learn to depend upon the Lord instead of ourselves. And so it's a good reminder, and I appreciate that word. I do believe it was a very timely word, and the Holy Spirit was just all over the service, and that's what we need, right? I tell God all the time on Sunday mornings, like, if you're not here, I don't want to be here. Like, it's not about any of us. It is about God doing what he needs to do through us, and that's only when we depend on the Holy Spirit. So I'm so thankful and so grateful for that. Want to remind young adults, you're welcome to come to our house, Hispanic service at 3 p.m. for anyone who would love to come and be a part of that. And so we are going to close out in prayer. But we are building a faith community. So take some time before you leave today to talk to someone you don't know, because they are part of your community, right? So be friendly. Smile, as Pastor Derry said, that's the easiest start. So smile at someone, go introduce yourself, and let's start building a faith community. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for who you are, because without you, we can do nothing, and without you, we are nothing. But God, with you, we are more than a conqueror, and it doesn't matter what is coming against us or where we are at this point in our life. God, we know that you have a plan and you have a purpose, and all we have to do, Lord, is hear your voice. So right now, I'm just proclaiming and believing that we will begin to hear you more clearly than ever before. And as we hear you clearly, God, we can follow you more closely. You will ordain our steps. You will lead us into the paths of righteousness. God, we will see things begin to change around us and in the atmosphere around us, God, as we are obedient to your word and your word alone. I pray that you'll be with every family, every person as they go through the workplace this week and they go into schools this week. God, let us just be your hands and your feet to this world and this community. And Father God, I just pray for this local faith community here that we will be stronger and better together, Lord, that we will build one another up and encourage one another and support one another and bear each other's burdens, so that you will be glorified. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.